In addition to being the third Sunday after Easter, today is the feast of Saint Athanasius. And you perhaps know that Saint Athanasius was the bishop in the Arian heresy who was the hero of resistance to Arians. He was a deacon at the Council of Nicaea in 325, in which the Arian heresy was condemned. Later he became the Patriarch of Alexandria in Egypt. And then he was exiled by the emperor because he would not be an Arian. The Arians were favored by the Emperor Constantius, who was the son of the great Constantine. And he sent into exile anyone who would not be Arian. And he would not compromise the faith even one iota, even in the case of those who wanted to compromise a little bit with the Arians in order to please them. And at times they wanted to kill him. He had to flee into the desert of Egypt, and there was a threat even upon his life from time to time. And finally he was restored to his see. The Arians were sent away, and he regained control of his cathedral. Now, there are similarities between his time and our time. First of all, you had a worldwide heresy. Arianism affected both the Orient and the West. Secondly, episcopal sees were held by those who adhere to the heresy. Catholics were exiled. There was persecution of the true faith, and there was social recognition of the false religion as if it were the true faith. Those are all very similar to our own times, those things. And there was absolute intransigence of Catholics against the heresy, which is also true in our own time. But there are great differences. The one is that the heresy did not affect the Pope. There was one Pope, Liberius, who is the only questionable case. He signed a semi-Arian formula because he had been sent away from Rome into exile by the emperor. And in order to free himself from exile, he signed a semi-Arian formula. He also excommunicated Athanasius under the same pressures. Right? That is not the same thing that we are facing here, because he was not a convinced Arian or a convinced semi-Arian. He signed it under pressure. And furthermore, he did not promulgate to the whole church and teach in the name of the church Arianism or semi-Arianism. That is the essential difference, is that today those, and since Vatican II, those who have been elected to the papacy have not merely themselves fallen into the heresy of modernism, but they are making it Catholicism. They are proposing it as if it were Catholicism. They are teaching it in the name of the church. They are engaging, as it were, the church's solemn authority in the proposition of this new religion. That is an entirely different thing, and that is without precedent in the history of the church. And the other big difference is that although the heresy was widespread, it was not absolutely universal, as modernism is, due to many factors, primarily the fact that it did not come down from Rome, but came really from the emperor. The big push in favor of the Arians was the emperor. But it did not come down from Rome. There were many bishops who held to the Orthodox faith in the Arian crisis. But we cannot point out a single bishop who is named to a hierarchical see in these times who, you would say, professes the Catholic faith. Not a single one. They are all modernists. And that is a big difference. And that is without precedent. And so we should, of course, look to St. Athanasius as an example. There are a number of things to watch out for in these times in fidelity to the example of St. Athanasius. The first is, don't be a semi-Arian. And by that, I mean don't be a semi-modernist. In many of the heresies in the history of the Catholic Church, there have always been some who want to compromise and accommodate the heretics. It was true with the Arians. It was true with the Pelagians. There was something called the semi-Pelagianism. It was true in the Protestant heresy because you had something called Jansenism, which even at the time was called Catholic Protestantism. They wanted to accept many of the tenets of Protestantism, but at the same time remain Catholics. It is a common thing in major heresies in the history of the Church. And today, the tendency of many Catholics who are resisting is to say, well, maybe we can accept something of Vatican II. Maybe we can, in some way, get along with this new religion. It is contrary to the very nature of Catholicism to compromise with heresy, because Catholicism is not merely a collection of truths. It is not a basket that is filled with some truths and some falsehoods. Rather, it is the teaching of God, which is completely free from all error. It is a system. And you adhere with the assent of faith to every single article that the Church teaches. You adhere with the same assent of faith to the Immaculate Conception as you do to the Holy Trinity, to the Incarnation as you do to the doctrine of purgatory. Every article of faith has the same weight, the same guarantee of divine truth, because the Church is assisted by the Spirit of God, whom our Lord says is the Spirit of truth. If it is not assisted by the Spirit of truth, then it does not differ from the Episcopalian Church or the Methodist Church or any other false religion. It does not differ in any way if it lacks the assistance and the constant and continual assistance of the Spirit of God. And you see how the Episcopalians recently cannot even figure out from opening their Bibles that sodomy is contrary to the law of God, even though it is explicitly condemned by St. Paul. He says they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it shows that they lack the assistance of the Spirit of God. And we cannot reduce Catholicism to merely a mixture of truth and error. Now, either Vatican II is teaching the Catholic faith, or it isn't. There is nothing gray in between those two things. Either it teaches the Catholic faith, or it is against the Catholic faith. Yes or no. Black or white. There is nothing in between those two things. If it is teaching the Catholic faith, then we should all accept it as you would accept the Council of Trent, as you would accept the Council of Florence, as you would accept the Council of Nicaea. Then we have no basis to do what we are doing. We are wrong. If it is not teaching the Catholic faith, then to accept it, even to compromise with it, to accept it in any way would be an insult and affront to the spirit of truth, to that spirit which guides Catholicism to its ultimate end, faithfully, indefectibly, infallibly, until the second coming of its founder, our Lord Jesus Christ. But to say, as many do, well, maybe we can accept Vatican II in the light of tradition and give our own spin to it so that we can in some way accept it, or, as the indult people say, well, it's all right if they want the new Mass, it's all right if they want the new Catholicism, that's all right, as long as I have my niche, as long as I have my place, as long as I can practice the Catholic religion the way I like it, that's okay. That reduces the Catholic Church to the Episcopalian Church. It removes from the Catholic Church the Spirit of God. It removes from her its unity, its infallibility, its indefectibility, its those qualities which it has shown and proven for 2,000 years. For it has never, ever contradicted itself. No, not once, not ever. It has never contradicted itself. And if you admit this contradiction of Vatican II, you destroy the very essence of Catholicism. And that is why we take here the very strict position that we do at the cost of numbers. You know that others who say, well, we accept Vatican II, or we are with John Paul II, and so forth, they have greater numbers than we do. Because that is pleasing to the ears of many people to think, well, I can have my traditional faith and at the same time be in union with all of these people who are what we call Novus Ordo. That's appealing. But it is not the truth. It is not Catholicism. The other thing to avoid is what I would call traditionalist modernism. Many approach the problem of Vatican II in this way. I don't like the new Mass. I like the traditional Mass. I like the traditional faith, the traditional devotions. Therefore, I will not go to my parish, and I will go to a Mass center where there's the traditional Mass. That's modernism. You are a modernist if you think that way. Why? What is modernism? Modernism says that a religion is true if it appeals and corresponds to your interior feelings. And so voodooism is true for those people because it corresponds to their interior religious feelings about God. And so if you approach Catholicism that way, I will reject the new Mass and reject the changes because it doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't correspond to my inner experience. What do? You say, yes, I will go to a Mass center in which the traditional faith, as I like it, is practiced. But at the same time, I do not deny to others their right to have the new Mass and the new religion. Because that's their experience. And again, you destroy Catholicism. Catholicism is one faith for everybody. One faith for everyone. And you destroy it if you mix it up and make it a hodgepodge, a smorgasbord of many different rites, many different doctrines, which all contradict one another, each according to the pleasure of each parishioner. No, the proper approach to the problem of Vatican II and the new religion in general is, what does the church teach? What are the disciplines of the Catholic Church? What does the church have me do in this crisis, whether I like it or not? Whether I like it or not. Whether it pleases me or not. What is the teaching of the Catholic Church? My mind must conform to the teaching of the Catholic Church. And Catholics are not free to reject the teaching of the Catholic Church, or reject the Church's disciplines, or reject the Church's laws, because it doesn't please, those things don't please them. We must conform. That is Catholicism. We must obey. And therefore, your adherence to this must be an act of obedience. It must be an act of conformity to the true faith, and not merely an act of choosing what pleases you. So don't be a traditionalist modernist, but be a Catholic. Find out what is the teaching of the church, what is the discipline of the church, and adhere to it for that reason. And so from the great Saint Athanasius, we should understand and learn firmness of faith in the face of pressure and persecution. He went into exile and his life was threatened. None of you have that, but you do have persecution from your families and from the culture. The Novus Ordo fits like hand in glove to the modern culture, where everything is all right. Believe whatever you please. Do whatever you please. Have whatever orientations are your pleasure, which are your pleasure. Novus Ordo fits hand in glove into that culture, whereas the dogmatic Catholicism goes directly against that and contradicts all of the modern flow. And you have to be prepared for pressure and persecution. Do not complain. It is part of your faith. It is part of the slap on your face when you're confirmed. Secondly, absolute intransigence on matters of faith. Absolute intransigence on matters of faith. Third, trust in God. St. Athanasius said, even if the church should be reduced to a handful, then that will be the church of God. And we say exactly the same thing. And in comparison to the many parishes in which the new mass is happening today in this diocese, you are a handful. You are a handful. And what seemed to be hopeless for many years in the time of St. Athanasius ended in victory for the true faith, because the church is assisted by the Spirit of God. And fourth, prayer. St. Athanasius spent his exile with St. Anthony of Egypt in the desert and prayed. And prayer to God for the protection of our own faith and for the humiliation of the enemies of the church is the most important thing that we do during this time. God permitted the Arian crisis for a reason, and through it raised up many great saints. And God is permitting our own crisis for a reason, and we must trust in His providence and sanctify ourselves in order to preserve ourselves from the heresy and the moral corruption of the day. Saint Athanasius said, and if the whole world should become Arian, then it will be Athanasius against the world. And we should say, and if the whole world should become modernist, then it will be I against the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.